Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 273, the stanzas 1 through 4. Thou, O Jehovah, shalt endure. Thy throne forever is the same, and to all generations sure shall be thy great memorial name. And what follows? Psalter 273, the first four stanzas. the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together. It can be found in Luke 3, the verses 1 through 20. And afterwards from the Confession of Faith, Article 18. Luke 3, the first 20 verses. And now in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, and Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of Iturea, and of the region of Trachonitis, and Licinius, the tetrarch of Albini, Annas and Caiaphas being the high priests, the word of God came unto John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. And he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low. And the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough way shall be made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourselves, we have Abram to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abram. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Every tree therefore which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. And the people ask him, saying, what shall we do then? He answereth and saith unto them, he that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none. And he that hath meat, let him do likewise. Then came also publicans to be baptized, and said unto him, Master, what shall we do? And he said unto them, exact no more than that which is appointed you. And the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, and what shall we do? And he said unto them, do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages. And as the people were in expectation, and all men mused in their hearts of John, whether he were the Christ or not, John answered, saying unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor, and will gather the wheat into his garner, but the chaff he will burn with fire unquenchable. And many other things in his exhortation preached he unto the people. But Herod the Tetrarch, being reproved by him for Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, and for all the evils which Herod had done, added yet this above all, that he shut up John in prison. From the Confession of Faith, as you can find it on page 13, in the back of the Psalter, Article 18, the Incarnation of Jesus Christ. We confess, therefore, that God that fulfilled the promise which he made to the fathers by the mouth of his holy prophets, when he sent into the world at the time appointed by him his own only begotten and eternal Son, who took upon him the form of a servant and became like unto man, really assuming the true human nature with all its infirmities, sin excepted, being conceived in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary by the power of the Holy Ghost, without the means of man, and did not only assume human nature as to the body, but also a true human soul, that he might be a real man. For since the soul was lost as well as the body, it was necessary that he should take both upon him to save both. Therefore we confess, in opposition to the heresy of the Anabaptists, who deny that Christ assumed human flesh of his mother, that Christ has become a partaker of the flesh and blood of the children, that he is a fruit of the loins of David after the flesh, made of the seed of David according to the flesh, a fruit of the womb of the Virgin Mary, made of a woman, a branch of David, a shoot of the root of Jesse, sprung from the tribe of Judah, descended from the Jews according to the flesh, of the seed of Abraham, as since he took on him the seed of Abraham, and became like unto his brethren in all things, sin excepted, so that in truth he is our Emmanuel, that is to say, God with us. We hope to remember in prayer Mrs. Helen Clock, who had a scan on Tuesday, received a discouraging report and hopes to resume treatments on Wednesday. Let us try to ask the Lord for a blessing. Lord of the heavens and of the earth, the week already is far spent. Thou hast spared us and our children hitherto, and we may be privileged in this evening to come up to thy house, to remember thy wonders of old in the time of Reformation. It was the sin of the children of Israel, as recorded in thy word, that so often they have forgotten thy wonders of old, which thou had performed amongst them. And to that end, how proper and fitting that we may come up to thy house. The psalmist of old has declared that the works of the Lord are great, and those that have pleasure therein to seek them out. To that end, we humbly ask thee for thy blessing when we remember that in the Middle Ages, it was a time of great darkness. Thy word was hidden and covered, the truth not proclaimed in many places. But, Lord, then it was thy time. Then thou wast wrought wonderfully by thy Spirit, beginning in the hearts of the children of men. Thou hast endowed men with special gifts, special grace, who have received talents from above, which they have used for the coming of thy kingdom. They were willing to sacrifice much. Many have sacrificed everything, paid the price with their lives, with their blood. Then the truth was expounded by renewal from off the pulpits. Thy word was placed in the family circles, and thou wast richly blessed that thy church was brought out of that Egyptian darkness and bondage, that holy name of Jesus Christ was proclaimed among the multitudes, was proclaimed that by their works they could never be saved. And now, Lord, it is so profitable that we know that Reformation, that we love that Reformation, and that we also appreciate and are thankful for what thou hast done in the days of old, where that heritage has been passed down to us and our children with a solemn duty and responsibility to guard that heritage. And then it is so needful that it is accompanied with unceasing prayer, that thou may work mightily, irresistibly, lovingly by thy Spirit in the hearts of us and our children. When we consider this world, when we consider the countries, then there are so many churches that have come out of the Reformation, children of the Reformation, where the truth has been, where there were many children of God, but where thou hast departed, where the truth is found no more, and as a fruit thereof, many Western countries the most have departed so far from thee and from thy word, then we have reasons to tremble, to be sorrowful, and to be afraid. Wilt thou grant it? But then on such an evening, then we do well that we remain with ourselves, we remain with our churches, our denomination, and then we have many reasons to hang our head in shame. O Lord, the psalmist of old, he has prayed, turn us again and we shall be turned. Cause thy face to shine upon us and we shall be saved. And then what maketh us and our children to differ, that we may still have the truth, where it may still be heard, how thou convertest thy people, that one thing needful to be born again, and to be washed in the precious blood of thy dear Son. To that end, Lord, we humbly beg of thee, that thou may remember us and our dear children, do work from generation to generation, O work in the hearts of young and old, because when thou worketh on account of that love shed abroad in the heart, then there shall be a reformation, then sin becomes sin, and guilt becomes guilt, shall come a separation, and to learn with all our reformation that we become blacker yet because of our sins. Oh, for the Spirit to make room for that precious Jesus, thy Son, whom has assumed our human nature, as we have heard explained from the writings of our forefathers, O Lord, do then a great work amongst us and our dear children, and forsake and leave us not. So we commend unto thee thy church all over the earth, the persecuted church. Oh, in the time of the Reformation, there was such bitter persecution, and in this evening hour, we and our children may freely come up, ah, Lord. There's also our great sin, and may it truly become our guilt that we take so much for granted, that we find it all so normal. We commend unto thee the Jewish people, mission work, those that bring thy word to the ends of the earth. We commend unto thee our poor country that continues its downward spiral to destruction, where thy judgments are hanging low over us, Lord. Give us eyes to see it, hearts to perceive it, and that we may mightily call upon thy name, that thou may grant unto us a hiding place. Remember all the temporal needs, they are also manifold. Then we commend unto thee a widow, mourning with many empty places in the family circle. Receive the discouraging report. Hopes to resume treatments. O Lord, wilt thou remember her? And above all, may it be for the profit of her never dying soul. Remember all under the physician's care, taking treatments. Remember the crosses, the burdens, scars. Remember the handicapped ones. A handicapped daughter hopes to commemorate another birthday in the day of tomorrow. Oh, for the past year, then she has spent a long time in the hospital. She was privileged to return home. There are still many concerns and difficulties. We commend her unto thee with her loved ones. Lord, do remember all the mourning ones in our midst. There are many. May the callings be sanctified. And do remember all the elderly ones, our Bethesda, the residents, those that lovely care for them. Wilt thou work mightily by thy Spirit in that place. Lord, we humbly ask thee, wilt thou grant some simple words to speak. May they be applied by thy Spirit. Oh, grant a great reformation amongst us. What we forget, forget it not. Bless what stands in need of thy blessing, and Lord, that is everything. May we be given to realize it more. Bind us more at thy throne of grace. Give not over to discouragement. To be given to believe, where thou hast done wonders in a very dark and dismal time. Thou hast stretched out thy mighty hand, brought thy church to the glorious light, as it is in Jesus Christ, that thou art still the same. Do remember souls that are in that bondage and that do not know how to be delivered. Be a wonder-doing God. Take away everything that can be a hindrance. Pardon us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 221, the three stanzas. A great shepherd who leadest thy people in love, amid cherubim dwelling, shine thou from above. In might come and save us, thy people restore, and we shall be saved when thy face shines once more. And what follows, Psalter 221, the three stanzas. The collection tonight is for the Trinitarian Bible Society. this evening hour with the help of the Lord. We wish to ask your attention for our text words, Luke 3, the verses 3 through 6. And he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God." Our text words speak of the preaching of repentance for the remission of sins, with two thoughts. In the first place, by John the Baptist, as forerunner of Christ, and in the second place, by John Wycliffe, as a forerunner of the Reformation. The preaching of repentance for the remission of sins by John the Baptist as forerunner of Christ, and by John Wycliffe as a forerunner of the Reformation. Beloved congregation, we read in Ezekiel 1 that the prophet has seen a glorious and a profound vision. He has seen four living creatures, and then he saw wheels, a wheel within a wheel, and that in the context of a throne in the firmament. And then it is written, when one wheel went, the other wheels also went. And that is a picture of God's providence. And boys and girls, then we can picture a clock, and then such a clock, of course we have much electronic in our days, but when you have a clock with weights, then in that clock, then you shall see many wheels, bigger ones, smaller ones. Some wheels go one way, other wheels go the other way. Some go faster, some go slower, but they all have a part. If one wheel would be missing or break, then the clock would stop. And that is now a picture of God's providence, also concerning his church. Can we understand it? Can we fathom it? No. Many times for the church, it goes too slow. Many times for the church, there can be those wheels for their thoughts that they even go the wrong way. And nevertheless, the Lord fulfills his purpose. That was in the time of the Reformation. And boys and girls, on Reformation Day, what do we remember? When Martin Luther has posted his 95 theses on the church door of Wittenberg. But that was not the beginning. Oh, it began with Martin Luther by the work of the Spirit. And there were also forerunners, like we have heard out of this chapter. John the Baptist, the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. In this world, when great ones of the earth visit a particular place, then the road needs to be cleared in early days, branches perhaps, and then an announcement was made. And now concerning the time of John the Baptist. In the Bible, who was the last prophet? Malachi. And then it became so quiet. Are there souls that understand it? Psalm 74, verse 9. No prophet, we see not our signs, and we know not how long. Yet, in the beginning of the New Testament, there was a waiting and an expecting church. Are there also such souls in my midst? And in that time, there was much amiss, much tradition. We think of the Pharisees, believed about 6,000 of them. In the New Testament, their beginning was well. It was in the time of Antiochus Epiphanes with the Maccabees. The Greek culture has received a great place in society, and alas, in that time, there were among the Jews that were not so separated, who became world-conformed. And the Lord has punished the children of Israel for their idolatry, 70 years in captivity. And then there were some, they received the name of Pharisees. Thus their beginning was good, to warn the people to remain separate. But in the time of Christ, also among the Pharisees, there was a remnant. But those Pharisees, there were many that were self-righteous, satisfied with their religion, and the life of a publican was strange to them. Christ had much trouble with those Pharisees, but further, what else? They have made 600 laws beside the law of God. And in some of those laws, there were loopholes that they did not have to obey God's law so exactly and strictly. Do we perhaps also have loopholes concerning God's law? Live in 2025, cannot be too old-fashioned. We are all sinners, And there were also Pharisees, they said, but they did not. And that, of course, does not arouse to jealousies. The Sadducees, they did not believe in spirits, in the resurrection. And therefore, many Sadducees, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we shall die. It's an awful thing to be such a Sadducee. The Essenes thought about 2,000. They have separated themselves from society, and they have lived separately. But in that time, the Lord always has a remnant. Because there were people, boys and girls, you can name a few, who in the beginning of the New Testament greatly feared the Lord, young and old. Oh, that young Virgin Mary, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, what a visit she received from the angel Gabriel, her boyfriend Joseph also received a visit. Zacharias and Elizabeth, we went to that hill country of Judea. Oh, then the boys and girls would tell us that that old couple without a child, that they greatly feared the Lord. A Simeon, waiting for the fulfillment of a promise, and that old Anna by day and night in the temple. And now we read in Luke 1, verse 65, that these things, the birth of John the Baptist, different ones have sung, Zechariah's mouth was opened, and fear came upon all that dwelt in that hill country, and these things, they were noised abroad. Oh, then in the midst of the church, there was such a joy that it was the set time to favor Zion. May that also be our prayer for a richer outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And then it became quiet. John the Baptist in the wilderness, but he has returned. And we have heard that he has begun to preach. He had a God-given message, and he was given to proclaim law and gospel. It was a plain message, the preaching, the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And then he is quoted from the prophet Isaiah 40, the verses 3 through 5, comfort ye my people, given to declare the wonderful works of the Lord. And we read in Matthew 3, verse 5, then went out to hear him all Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jerusalem. Thus John the Baptist has preached the word of God. In the time of the Reformation, it was so hidden, it was so distorted. But in the time of the Reformation, then by renewal, sola scriptura, That is a mark of the true church. The time of John the Baptist, there was much tradition which they even placed above the Word of God. And now John the Baptist, he preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Then John the Baptist was given to preach many a Jew. We may say it so, out of their comfort zone. Because many Jewish people, of course, are privileged people, but proud, content. They were the children of Abraham, and they were convinced that he would receive a place in heaven. But now John the Baptist, he had a very solemn and uncovering message. How is it with us, congregation? With our religion? Are we content? Quite comfortable? We ascribe to the doctrines as our forefathers have explained them according to the Word of God. Free and sovereign grace, our inability can do nothing. So perhaps we do nothing. And as children of the Reformation under the truth, satisfied, come faithfully to church, but we leave the church perhaps most of the time, I hope not all the time. I hope that there are times that we are all troubled and that we consider it cannot continue this way. I need to be converted. Every week a week closer to eternity. I need to be born again. My sins are great and manifold. As so it was with great multitudes among the Jewish people, children of Abraham. And now John was given to shock them. History tells us that when a heathen desired to join himself to the church of Israel, then the males had to be circumcised. But then those proselytes were also baptized. Thus for the Jewish people, for a heathen to be baptized, those unclean heathens that were not born under the covenant, that they needed to be baptized, that was very clear for them. But now John the Baptist has come, and he said unto the Jewish people, fathers and mothers and children, that they needed to be baptized, signifying that they were unclean. And we have heard how he addressed them. O generation of vipers. We would say, boys and girls, congregation of poisonous snakes. Fathers and mothers of snakes. Boys and girls as little poisonous snakes have been bitten by the serpent in paradise. That's how he has addressed the Jewish nation, the Jewish people. still a privilege that they have come, as they read in Matthew 3. When they heard that there was a prophet, they have come to church. Who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? And then he has said that the axe is laid at the fruit of the tree. Root of the tree. I think, boys and girls, you know the meaning. We picture a tree, say we drive down a road, and our day it is different. A red circle with an X. If your father and mother would ask you, what does that X mean? Then I think you could tell them. That means that that tree shall soon be chopped down. That is what John the Baptist is preaching to the multitude. Because their trees did not have the fruits. Think of the parable of the fig tree. In Luke 13, the verses 6 and 9, then that farmer, that labor came every year to look at that tree. Dead have leaves but have no fruit. Let it stand for another year. Is that ever head home? That I am such a tree. And that in the long suffering of the Lord, he shall let my tree stand one more year. And if there is no fruit, shall be cut down. John the Baptist is using the picture of a tree with the axe standing beside it. And that soon a man would come along and take that axe and chop the tree down. And that preaching, that has bore fruit. The baptism of repentance for the remission of sin does not mean, must not understand that John the Baptist preached a different message than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. But as a forerunner in the way of uncovering, then he laid open and bare all their sins and iniquity, and that one thing needful, that room was made. Oh, when he is returned from the wilderness in John 1 verse 29, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. And then we read that different ones have come. They did not stone John the Baptist, but they have heard the message. And they have come to John the Baptist and they ask, publicans, what shall we do? Soldiers have come. And what shall we do? And John has given them instruction concerning their walk. And then he was given to declare that one was coming that was mightier than him. Oh, he would baptize with fire and with the Holy Spirit. He was given to point that people to the Lord Jesus Christ, who already was born ready to begin his public ministry. We do not read specifically that the Pharisees have come and ask, and what shall we do? And now concerning the glorious work of the Lord Jesus Christ, then quoted out of Isaiah 40, then what wonderful works. Oh, to encourage that people. Every valley shall be felt, and what a valleys there can be in the life of the living church. The valley of unbelief, discouragement, impossibilities, the shadow of death, mountains, as we read, mountains and hills shall be brought low. Oh, do we not read in Psalm 36 of the mountain of God's justice would be brought low by the Lord Jesus Christ? Further, crooked ways shall be made straight. The life of the living church. There can be those times that the ways that they seem so crooked. Of course, not from the Lord's side. Oh, and they may be given to believe it. But then, of course, that people can be attacked for God's people. I can believe it. But do I now belong to that blessed people? Because for that people, then Paul has written to the Romans in Romans 8, verse 28, for we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and that are called according to his purpose. And further, then we read, all flesh, Jew and Gentile, that they shall be saved. Thus the preaching of John the Baptist has borne much fruit, but also aroused enmity. John the Baptist, then he has told Herod, was living in adultery, reproved him of his life, and then we have heard it, that John the Baptist was put in prison. Oh, John the Baptist. We read it in John 3, verse 30. He must increase, and I must decrease. And we can know it with our mind, but now to experience it. What a blessed place. But now in the time of the Reformation, then there were also such John the Baptists. And John Wycliffe is one of them. That is our second thought. Let us first sing. Psalter 334, the stanzas 1, 2, and 4. Thy word sheds light upon my path, a shining light it guides my feet. Thy righteous judgments to observe, my solemn vow I now repeat. And what follows, 334, 1, 2, and 4.
Thank you.
Secondly, by John Wycliffe, as forerunner of the Reformation. Maybe, boys and girls, maybe you can tell me a few things. Maybe you have studied it at school. Maybe your parents in these weeks have read about the Reformation to you, perhaps also about John Wycliffe. He was born in the year 1324, more than 100 years before the invention of the printing press, by Johannes Gutenberg in the year 1454. His death at the age of 60 years old in 1384, approximately 100 years before the birth of Martin Luther. He was born in Wycliffe, and many times in England, their last name was the place of their birth. So John of Wycliffe, John de Wycliffe. In Dutch, we have many vans. In the providence of the Lord, then John's parents, they were rich. And to that end, and sometime boys and girls, maybe they complain a little bit, they have to learn and study too hard. But in the time of John Wycliffe, then most boys and girls could not go to school. They had to work all day very hard. But John Wycliffe, his parents could afford it. Likely first went to a lower school. And then when he was 16 years old, he was enrolled at the University of Oxford, one of the most well-known universities at that time in the world. Also a great university in Paris. And in that university, because in the time that John Wycliffe was born, there was much error, much superstition, much tradition, it is true. Here and there, there were still remnants. Think of the Waldenses. And also in the church, there was yet a remnant. And in the University of Oxford, then there was a professor by the name of Brad Warden, who was deeply versed in the scriptures. Thus that in a difference, because with many, they studied the writings of fathers at the expense of the Word of God. But there was a professor that he instilled in his students the necessity sola scriptura. And when Wycliffe, when he was converted, is not recorded in history, but it is recorded, and that is a mark of grace, that he loved the scriptures, and that at the university he received the name of the gospel doctor. So that's a special name. Thus, that means that Wycliffe was given to speak much of the scriptures and to be given to speak of the comfort which we find in the Word of God. When John Wycliffe was 24 years old, then the Black Plague has come to England. Maybe you've read about that plague. It was an awful plague. They tell us in the city of London, more than 100,000 people died. People would soon, after they contacted the plague, they would soon die because of difficulties of their lung and turn black. Oh, if we would travel through the country, then we would come on farms. Maybe a father, a mother left, maybe a son or daughter. Fields not harvested. And if we would ask, where is your family? They would say dead. What was the reason? The Black Plague. John Wycliffe has also contacted the plague, but the Lord has spared him. His work was not done upon the earth. The Lord had a special task, and it is recorded in history that that Black Plague has left a lasting impression upon Wycliffe. He heard it as the Lord blowing the trumpet concerning the judgments of the Lord. That's also a privilege and a great blessing. Not that afflictions and troubles are blessings by itself, but it is a great blessing when the Lord uses providential trials and afflictions, sickness and death, that we cannot lay it aside, but that it leaves a lasting impression. And when it is for the saving of the soul. In the time of John Wycliffe, then there were great struggles, different countries, between the Pope and the kings. The Pope wanted to be boss, and kings wanted to be boss. Of course, according to the scriptures, they both have their place. They must stand beside each other and work together. But that was not in the case of Wycliffe. And Pope John, in the year 1215, because England was put under censure, because they did not give their due to the church, but then King John has succumbed, and he has given England over to the church, to the Pope. Later, it was revoked. They tell us in 1376 that five times as much money went to the church outside of the country than to the government. And now John Wycliffe, based upon the scriptures, he has written a pamphlet explaining how unbiblical and wrong it was. The church owned great properties, many monasteries, with monks that were idle and not always so holy. And to that end, king and parliament has gathered together. They had a meeting. And then John Wycliffe, he was invited. And the question was placed before him by Parliament whether the Kingdom of England might not lawfully, in case of necessity, detain and keep back the treasures of the kingdom for its defense, that it be not carried away to foreign and strange nations, the Pope himself demanding and requiring the same under pain of censure. And then John Wycliffe, whether he had a place in Parliament, that is not clear in history. But Wycliffe was given to explain how unjust it was. The people poor, the church rich, and much money leaving the country. And then we can understand that John Wycliffe was greatly honored and under the protection of the king and Parliament. But John Wycliffe, he went further. He also, preacher in Lutterworth, and he was appointed professor of that large University of Oxford, where he could expound the scriptures to the students, where he was given to speak of the necessity of that godly sorrow that leadeth to repentance, and that there was only one name given under heaven whereby man can be saved, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He was given to tell that the Pope was the Antichrist. Thus he was given to lay bare the errors of the church. And then John Wycliffe's friends, the number became smaller. Even some of his friends said, John Wycliffe has been so for so many years already, and there's no perfection. You must not be so harsh. You must be more careful and more lenient. But that John Wycliffe could not do. In 1377, there was a gathering. They have examined his doctrine. He was forbidden to preach in 1377, but caused much unrest, because if Wycliffe was guilty, he should be punished. And if his guilt has not been proven, he may not be forbidden to preach. His teaching was sent to Rome. The Pope has asked him to come to Rome. He refused. And in 1378, it was the time that there were two popes. We have heard from the scriptures in the time of John the Baptist, speaking of two high priests. But in 1378, two popes, one in Rome, other one in Avignon, and that caused such a distress among the people that they have questioned it. How can it all be? And on account of all the attacks and the persecution, then in 1379, he became very sick. Everyone expected him to die. Four priests have went to visit to ask whether he was not sorry. But then he was given to speak, I shall not die but live, and declare the works of the Lord. John Wycliffe, He has seen the necessity that the people, that they would have the Word of God in their own language. Few portions have been translated into English, but it was forbidden by the ordinary people to read it. And then he was given to see the great need that the people needed the Word of God themselves for a people to be established in the truths of God's holy Word. Oh, I think families that John Wycliffe, that he could not imagine in his mind for a time, for a church, that there would be so many Bibles, that they would be so readily available. And then surely John Wycliffe, I think he could not imagine that when there would be Bibles in every family circle, and that every boy and girl has their personal Bible when they can read, that such a boy and girl would keep it closed before they went to bed. When we think of the price, the time of Martin Luther, then a girl had to work as a maid one whole year to purchase a Bible. What do you think, girls? Would you be willing to work one whole year to have your own Bible? 1611, when the King James Version Bible was translated, and I have read of a father, the family, two cows, and they desired their own Bible, and he had to sell a whole cow to buy a Bible. And then, boys and girls, then you know about Mary Jones, how long she had to work, how much she had to get together, how many dollars, and how far she had to walk. If you do not know, you can ask your father and mother. And to that end, toward the end of his life, was already 58 years old. Then he was given to translate the Bible. It was true. It was the Latin Vulgate, not a pure Bible, because Wycliffe was not master of Greek and Hebrew. But then he was given to translate the New Testament itself. And some friends, especially under the leadership of Dr. Nicholas Hereford, and it was completed in 1382. But then you know, boys and girls, that there was not yet printing presses. So they all had to be copied, and then they were placed in libraries. And then when a father and mother with children want to read the Bible, then they had to go together to a library. They could not take them home. Some richer families, they managed to purchase a Bible, but then they had to share it. Maybe the 1 week, one family had the Bible. The next week, another family, and so on. And then also from the University of Oxford and John Wycliffe, there's not so clear in history when he was deposed because he became professor at Oxford University, but he was deposed. But then those students, they were sent out two and two, with a copy of the Bible, And then they traveled through the land, telling the people what is written in the Bible, how that poor sinners may be saved without the works of the law. Only through the mediatorial work of Jesus Christ. In 1381, John Wycliffe, he also posted some theses, same as Martin Luther has done, 12 of them, concerning crucial doctrines according to the scriptures, laying open the ears of the Roman Catholic Church. He has posted them at the University of Oxford so they could be read by the students, debated, and that the students would be driven to the scriptures whether these things really were so. Then you can understand the persecution. The Pope has demanded that he must come to Rome to answer for those theses, but he refused. And then the leader of the church in England says, then we shall have a meeting in England. And then Wycliffe must appear to defend himself. And in that meeting, the Lord has spoken by a great earthquake, that everything was given to shake. But the leader has said that the heretic must be condemned, then the church shall no longer be shaken. But many were given to see that the Lord has spoken with that earthquake. Appeared before another gathering. The enmity was bitter, but the Lord in a special way, the same as with Jesus, as we read in Luke 4, the verses 29 and 30, that when Jesus has preached especially about the sovereignty of God, that they have taken him up to the edge of a cliff to cast him down, but Jesus went on his way. And so it was with John Wycliffe. When he has left that gathering where there was such an enmity against the truth, then the Lord has refrained all the enemies from laying his hand on John Wycliffe. Thus John Wycliffe was given to preach the truth more than 100 years before Luther was born. He was given to stress sola scriptura. Needs to be in our church and our families, not what we think or feel. Means scripture alone. He revealed the ears. He preached the word. And he translated the Bible into English. And yet, it was not the Lord's time. He was the forerunner for the Reformation to break forth. And then in 1384, December 31st, 60 years old, the Lord has taken his servant home. We have heard from John the Baptist that he was given to declare that there was one mightier than him that would come. And so John Wycliffe has also prophesied from the very bosom of monkery would someday proceed the regeneration of the church. And the writings of John Wycliffe, they have come to Bohemia, today's Czechoslovakia. We know, boys and girls, John Huss, those painters that have come to the hall that have painted pictures on four walls, you can ask your father and mother to read about it as we find it in Vreugdehelden and Fathers and Mothers. Then you have something to read to your children. And yet it was not yet the Lord's time. That would be at His time. Also, after the printing press has been perfected, when the writings could be spread abroad much more easily, than of the forerunners and the reformers, then we read that they have sacrificed much, everything, for the old truth, the old ways. Many have even sacrificed their life. How is it with us? What does our religion cost us? What are we willing to sacrifice? What do we sacrifice? Because that heritage that has been handed down to us by the price of blood, and then it is our solemn duty that we guard that precious heritage for ourselves and for our dear children. May we be given to feel the weight thereof. Amen. Let us close. Lord, may we be given to take that question home concerning the cost of our religion, what we are willing to sacrifice, and what we do sacrifice, Lord, to that end. Then it is needful that the precious truth of the Reformation, that it is experienced that we love that truth, and then we shall strive for that truth. Lord, what maketh us and our children to endeavor? Also in this evening, many children in this evening have wandered the streets, perhaps have never heard of a Bible, and many with the Bible so far departed that they are busy in the service of Satan. Oh Lord, do keep us and our children, bring us safely home. Watch over us in the remainder of this week. Return us on the Sabbath day. Pardon us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing psalter, Psalter 247, the stanzas 1, 2, 3, and 6. O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home, and what follows. 247, 1, 2, 3, and 6. receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.